You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons comes into force today, becoming international law. New Zealand played a prominent role in drafting this treaty, with local disarmament ambassador H.E. Del Higgy acting as vice president of the 2017 United Nations Negotiating Conference, carrying on Aotearoa's pretty proud nuclear-free history. While we're no longer living in the area of duck and cover drills, nuclear weapons still exist, and nuclear weapons existing means that they have the capacity to do incredible damage, even if the sort of real politic that exists right now means that such a scenario is less likely than it was during, say, the Cold War. I spoke to Lucy Stewart, coordinator at the Disarmament and Security Center in Christchurch, about the treaty, what it will do, and how effective it will be. We also talked about why denuclearization has faded as a political issue. I started by asking her for an overview of the treaty.
So the Nuclear Weapon Ban Treaty just went into force on Friday, January 22nd. And so this was negotiated at the United Nations in 2017. And it was adopted by over 120 nations there at the UN. Now, it's taken 3 years to come into force because there's a ratification process that states have to go through. And once 50 countries had ratified it, then that 90 days after that, the treaty goes into force. So the 50th country ratified it in November. And now, yeah, really exciting that it's now gone into force. There's also another 36 countries that have signed up to the treaty, meaning they are now working towards the ratification process. So within hopefully a few months, a year, more and more countries will come on board. And so basically a vast majority of the world's nation states have said, yeah, enough is enough with nuclear weapons. They should be illegal. They should be banned. And we're taking steps to make that happen.
Is the focus of the treaty on disarmament or just preventing further proliferation of nukes?
It's both. So definitely disarmament, because in the Non-Proliferation Treaty, which is a 1968 treaty, which is kind of the cornerstone of nuclear non-proliferation and disarmament, this sort of recognises that there are some nuclear weapon states in the world. And the vast majority of the world's countries have signed up to this treaty. But in Article 6 of that treaty, it says that there is an obligation for those nuclear weapon states to move towards disarmament and disarm. But this treaty is now over 50 years old, and those countries have not fulfilled their side of the bargain. So the Nuclear Weapon Ban Treaty basically builds on the Non-Proliferation Treaty to say, actually, these weapons are illegal, and therefore those countries should disarm. So, yeah, it is about disarmament, and there are pathways within the Nuclear Weapon Ban Treaty for nuclear weapon states to join and then disarm, or disarm and then join. And it's also about non-proliferation too, just to really set this norm that actually these weapons are illegal, they're banned under international law, and no one should have them. And so if you look at other weapons bans, so for cluster munitions or landmines, chemical weapons, for example, they create a really strong stigma and norm against those weapons so that no nation states will want to use them. If you look at landmines, for example, the US, I believe, still hasn't actually signed it, but then, and cluster munitions too, but countries don't, even if they don't sign the treaty, they become more and more less likely to use those weapons because their allies put pressure on them, no one wants to kind of collaborate in missions with them if they're going to use those weapons, and so they over time they become kind of defunct and unusable. And so this is the same process with nuclear weapons now, that we build this norm and the stigma against the weapons, and it becomes harder and harder for them to be produced. Countries who have them, it really becomes politically awkward for them, and big divestment campaigns happen. So banks and investment companies don't want to finance them anymore, and we kind of draw the power out of that industry.
Do you have any concerns about compliance, or are those sort of soft power mechanisms that you've just elaborated about, do you think that those will be enough?
Well, at the moment, no, I don't have concerns about compliance. because there are really stringent reports and things that countries have to submit, and it will have exactly the same compliance that the Non-Proliferation Treaty regime has with the IAEA. And at the moment with the Nuclear Ban Treaty, the countries that have signed are obviously non-nuclear weapon states, so there's no issues with compliance. So New Zealand, for example, will submit a report. It will become a little bit more, detail. No, the detail won't change, but when nuclear weapon states and nuclear weapon allied states join, but there are pathways for that. And the first meeting of states parties for the treaty will happen this year, and that's when they will figure out the nuts and bolts of that. But yeah, I have no concerns about compliance.
Disarmament isn't as prominent in public discourse as it was a few decades ago, but obviously nuclear weapons still exist and are still capable of exerting the same threat as they were before. Why do you think it's faded as an issue?
Okay, so I think it's two-pronged here. For example, in New Zealand, we've been nuclear-free for over 30 years. And so I think, the earlier generation... other generations have been really concerned about nuclear weapons because they've seen the testing in the Pacific and they understand the consequences, whereas I think younger generations here, they kind of see it as past history without actually realising that the threat today is even greater than it was, in the 70s and 80s. So I think that's one issue here in New Zealand, and the organisation I work for, the Disarmament and Security Centre, that's one of the big things that we do is work on public education and education at the tertiary level so that young people actually understand what's going on, what they're kind of inheriting, and the work that still needs to be done. Globally, I think, that's the same issue globally as well. I think there's all sorts of different issues. Things like climate change, which are really important issues, have also taken, a centre stage, I think, with kind of young people's movements. So it's partly, I think public education globally, actually, and bringing awareness back to disarmament. And I think, we just had to look at the news a couple of years ago with Trump and Kim Jong-un in North Korea to see that actually these threats haven't gone away. They may not play out as regularly as they did, say, in the Cold War, but actually they're really real and they are there, and we need to tackle them.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.